critical appraisal of great expectations. A work of maturity. Great Expectations belong to the last period in Dickens' writing, being published in 1861. It had been serialized in his weekly magazine all the year round, which picked up in sales as soon as Dickens' novel began appearing in it. In the novels of the early period, the colors are bright, while in the latter works, they become increasingly somber. The last books are informed by the bitterness of disillusioned radical. On one level, Great Expectations has a great deal in common with David Copperfield. Both are written in the first-person narrative. In both, the hero develops from childhood to maturity, and in both, there are clear picturesque adventure elements, but the two novels differ in the feeling embodied in them. David Copperfield, despite the hero's early miseries, is a high-spirited and optimistic book. In Great Expectations, life is no laughing matter, in which the fairy godmother of the earlier novel has turned into the decayed Miss Havisham, a false godmother living and brooding among the ghosts of the past. The title significance. The title of the novel has been chosen well. It has overtones of ironic bitterness. The great expectations of various characters are inextricably connected. Peep dreams of gentility. Magwitch dreams of masking Peep's gentleman. Miss Havisham dreams of vengeance on all men for the humiliation she suffered at the hands of faithless lover. But Peep's fantasies are connected with the unattainable Stella, who has been tutored in cruelty by Miss Havisham. Magwitch creates a gentleman who begins by despising him. Magwitch's own daughter is instrumental in causing despair to the gentleman he has created. The crowning irony is to be seen in Jaggers, a victim of his own defenses, hardened and yet concerned for Molly, whom he appears to abuse. He foolishly saves her daughter Stella, thus making her an instrument of Miss Havisham's revenge. Indeed, the world of the novel is infested by self-destructive fantasies ragging from the snobbery of Plumchook and Obstall's declamations to the grim self-hatred of Stella, firmly believing she cannot love and that she would be a curse to the man she marries. Some expectations are, however, rewarded, but these are not great expectations. Joe's trust, Herbert Pocket's modest ambitions, even Peep's dreams. Once liberated from false ideas of gentility, do meet with success. Fantasies are, by the end of the novel, cut down to size or exposed for what they are. Peep and Stella have grown to maturity by the end of their fantasies, have become humanized. The plot of the novel. Coherent structure. Great Expectations has a coherent plot in which all the events and characters are bound together. The whole plot goes out of the first two episodes. Peep's encounters with Magwitch and Miss Havisham had developed a significant relation between them. The development is orderly and successive consequence well connected in the novel. The plot is divided into three sections of roughly equal length. The first section is concerned with Peep's childhood in Kent, the second with his life in London, and the third with his attempt to save Magwitch. The three sections broadly correspond to three stages in Peep's moral education. Firstly, his dissatisfaction with his social status, contact both with socially superior classes and with the world of criminality. Secondly, his deliberate break from his humble origins and cultivation of superior qualities, but not escaping from contact with the underworld. Jaggers office and Newgate prison. Thirdly, Peep develops a new moral awareness by which he looks at that complex situation linking the underworld and social status, bringing out connections between Magwitch and Miss Havisham and Stella. Peep's new outlook enables him to help Magwitch forgive Miss Havisham and be forgotten by Joe Gregory. Conscience have a function. The coherent plot, of course, depends upon the coincidence. The first few chapters establish a major coincidence, the linking of Magwitch and Miss Havisham in the person of Peep. The latter coincidences, however, serve to tighten the links all the more. The coincidences are not arbitrarily used for the sake of sensation. They are functional in the expression of Dickens' idea that society must be considered as an organic whole and not as a series of isolated units. Thus, Satish's house is linked to the underworld through the figure of Peep, the village boy who becomes a gentleman with the help of a criminal. The coincidences are acceptable, even they appear incredible at first sight. Pattern of an inverted fairy tale. The discoveries in Great Expectations, along which the plot develops, reveal a sense of an inverted fairy tale. Peep's dramas of becoming gentlemen are realized, not through Miss Havisham's effort as he fantasized, but through the kind of office of a criminal whom he despises and adores. The Great Expectations land Peep in the sordid and corrupt world of London. The fairy princess Estella turns out to be a criminal's illegitimate daughter. Indeed, Peep's education lies in his learning that life is not a fairy tale. Touch of mystery and drama. There is in the plot of Great Expectations a touch of the mystery story with the accompanying sense of suspense and drama. Who is Peep's benefactor is a major mysterious element. Dickens, in the tradition of detective story writers, has given the novel a puzzle framework. The atmosphere of the thriller is maintained by means of the little things, the notes from Wemmick, for instance. Don't go home. Wordsworth borne this as soon as read. Dickens gives clues to the reader, some of them misleading, which keep the reader guessing about Peep's benefactor. All in all, the structural development of the novel is good, and it is apt that it ends on the marshes where the whole thing began. Themes in the novel. The major theme in the novel deals with what a gentleman is. Are social prestige and moral worth intrinsically connected? The novel implies, not always or necessarily so, the term gentleman is repeated of, and in the novel, social pretension is an issue in the novel. By the end, Peep has been liberated from his false concept of gentility. There are two themes in the novel which are pet themes of Dickens: unhappy childhood, theme of guilt and imprisonment, wrathless of law, the corrupting power of money, and above all, the theme of human loneliness. These themes are worked out by means of contrast and confrontations. The instinctive sense of justice versus the legal system, the outcast versus society, build isolation against human commitment, inherited fortunes versus personal achievement, but all the themes are connected to the major theme of the idea of a gentleman. In one sense, it would be correct to call the novel a snob's progress towards self-realization. The ending of the novel. It is well-known fact that Dickens ended the novel differently in the original, but changed the ending on the advice of his novelist friend Edward Bulwer Lytton. In the original ending, Peep and Estella meet by chance in London and then part forever. In the latter version, there is a hope for marriage between them. However, the significance lies in the fact that Estella has undergone a change of heart due to suffering in both versions. Of course, the controversy of the ending is open and readers are at liberty to prefer one to the other. One's attitude depends on how far one shares Dickens' confidence in the human capacity for moral regeneration. Thus, the ending is to be seen in the context not only of the plot but the theme as well. Characterization, types and complex, division of characters into malicious and friendly. Dickens' general method of characterization is that of caricature, in which a single feature of character is cut and then repeated and enlarged in different situations. But the method also ensures that the characters are clearly seen. Dickens' characters are generally flat, typing a single trait. If the characteristic is given an exaggerated treatment, the type becomes a caricature. In Great Expectations, for instance, Jaggers is a type. Plumbechuck is a caricature. A social novelist generally has more use for types of flat characters than for round characters depicting complex personalities. How, in Great Expectations, we have both social types and psychologically developing characters. Pip unites social and psychological concerns, perhaps because his career is shaped by society as well as his innate character. Great Expectations has three types of characters, those who develop, those who are gradually revealed, and those who are immediately obvious. Pip, and to a lesser extent, Macbeth and Estella show development towards moral awareness. To the second group belong characters such as Widdy, Joe, Herbert, and Jaggers. They do not develop exactly, but we know them better at the end of the novel than we did at the beginning. The third type of illustrated by Orlick, Upsell, Plumbechuck, and the Pockets. Miss Havisham and Mrs. Joe are more difficult to place, but they belong somewhere between the second and third groups. On another level, we may divide the characters into good and bad. According to their attitude to Pip, there are degrees of goodness and badness, of course. The novel shows Dickens' ability to approach character in many different ways, ranging from the comic caricature to the profound psychological portrait. Humor and pathos. Dickens, as a novelist, always combined humor and pathos in his work. Dickens brings into play a variety of forms of humor, genial laughter, and satire to simple farce. Great Expectations has humor in the characterization, of course, but there is also verbal humor involving puns and subtle word associations. Dickens' humor was not of a limited subtle word associations, but a limited kind. In a single chapter, there is a brilliant combination of hilarious physical comedy and the sophisticated, witty use of language. On the whole, however, we cannot call Great Expectations a comic novel. It is of tragic comic conception. The novel's greatness lies in the fact that comic element enhances and does not detract from the serious concerns. There is a plenty of pathos in the novel. Pip's childhood suffering, his disappointment in the love for Estella, his difficult moral growth involving terrible remorse and pricks of conscience. All these aspects strike a chord of sympathy in the reader. Miss Havisham's bitter feelings can be understood, and we pity the poor lady as she begs Pip's forgiveness. One cannot but feel sorry at the circumstances in which Macbeth dies, or the treatment of Estella and Drumble's hands. Style. Fluency and variety mark Dickens' style. Dickens had a keen eye for visual detail, and he makes us see the scene clearly. His use of words, especially adjectives, opens before us a world of meaning. In chapter 10, for instance, he says regarding the idea of the many hot hands and have held the notes a sense of greasiness, and also the complacent opulence is suggested by fat. Dickens was sensitive to the varieties of spoken English, and it is apparent in the novel. No two characters speak in the same way. Jaggers with his bowling tone, Macbeth with his disjointed verbs, Joe's confused syntax, Biddy's plain speaking, Miss Havisham's melodramatic rhetoric differentiated and characterized the speakers. The first person narrative as used by Dickens is flexible and moves easily from solemn pathos as comic observation and from meditation to rapid action. In this novel, we get the impression of mind speaking to itself with one that is to listen. As Graham Greene terms it, we are sharply reminded that the narrator is no longer an immature youth, but an experienced man who looks back on his earlier life and tries to see its meaning. In the very way a scene or situation is presented is implied a comment or judgment upon it. The style proves that Dickens was quite capable of being subtle and sophisticated. Symbolism. On a simple level, Great Expectations is symbolic because it deals with universal issues through particular characters and situations. Thus, Peep and Magwitch work out the eternal pattern of redemption from sin through love and self-sacrifice. But there are complex overtones to the symbolism in Great Expectations, which makes J. Hills Miller observe that in this novel, Dickens' particular view of things is expressed with a concreteness and symbolic intensity he never surpassed. The themes function as a promise of fulfillment. The river works like time, dissolving, transforming and renewing life. The wedding cake of Miss Havisham is an illustrative symbol of how, if life's natural growth is frustrated, it will produce poisonous and perverted growth like the spiders and fungus on the cake. The spiders also suggest the corruption that Miss Havisham extends to Zed around her. Great Expectations, probably the Dickens' best artistic creation. This novel is considered one of the Dickens' Dickens' greatest, indeed by some critics as the best of his works. It reflects Dickens' changing attitude towards society as he traces the fortunes of Peep from optimism to disillusion and an accompanying maturity. Dickens exhibits a strong vein of cynicism and increasing doubts as to the possibility of improving society or even light itself. George Orwell has rightly observed that psychologically the latter part of Great Expectations is about the best thing Dickens ever did. Peep is certainly a much more complex figure than any of the earlier Dickens heroes. Furthermore, the treatment is masterly such that even obvious improbabilities appear plausible and realistic. In no other work does Dickens evidence a shrewder insight into real life and a clearer perception and knowledge of what is called the world. The book is an artistic creation and not a mere succession of humorous and pathetic scenes. His plot, like his characters, however improbable, has a kind of artistic unity and clear purpose, enhanced in this case by the absence of much fine-drawn sentiment and the scarcity of surplus details.